You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers, of course, all the time, as always. I am one of the hosts of this show, Tony East. I cover the Indiana Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. And today, it is just me. And why is it just me? Because we're finally back, ramping up for the season with 3 days a week episodes. We have a real game in 2 days. Well, a fake real game. A preseason game that's an actual game. It's not a summer league game like the NBA players will play. It's going to be awesome. And Adam will be talking about that and TJ Leaf tomorrow. But we are going to continue on with some player season previews here in the midweek, and it's a fun one for me. It's Jeremy Lamb today, if you couldn't catch it by the title. So we're going to talk about some Jeremy Lamb, what he did last year, what he foresees his role being, what I think he'll do this year, strengths and weaknesses, pretty much the whole package of a player preview. I'm going to start this one a little different than normal, though, because I have an unfair advantage. At Media Day, I talked to Lamb for a little bit. So I'm going to throw in that conversation. It's only a little over a minute long because I cut out all the other people's questions and just left in mine. But you get to hear from Lamb about his own role and one of his own personal interests that I found out about and what he worked on a few summers ago in Charlotte. So listen to that, and then I'll be right back.
Jeremy, what do you anticipate your role being this season, both with Victor on the court and without Victor on the court?
You said my role this year? I mean, I feel like my role is to put the ball in the basket. My role is to play defense. My role is to rebound, be a leader. I feel like I have a lot of different roles. But, you know, I think depending on how the games are, it's different games for different things. Sometimes the ball not going to go in the hole. But every night I got to play defense. I got to, you know, get my teammates involved in. We got to play as a team. Like, it's just, it's so many things. And then, you know, when Oladipo come back, my role is to come off the bench and add a spark, whether that's scoring or getting steals or whatever it is.
You worked on your defense with Silas a few summers ago, right, in Charlotte. How was that for you? Did that help you a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. He helped me in many ways on and off the court. And, you know, I've always been thankful for that.
I heard Drinda darts. Is that true?
Yeah.
You found a good spot for it here yet?
I haven't found one yet, but I love to play darts.
So I had to get in the darts question. Big thanks to Walker Meal over at Locked On Hornets for telling me that Jeremy Lamb was in darts. Lamb's a cool dude. It's nice to have him around. He kind of tells it like it is. Not that other players don't necessarily, but he doesn't, you know, do the PR speak stuff as much, even on Media Day, which I found kind of refreshing, and he was my last conversation of the day. But yeah, you heard him talk about his own role, and I think drawing back to last year in Charlotte, we can kind of see why, A, that he foresees his role being, you know, the score off the bench and a more of a role player with starters, and B, we can just look back and examine what his stats were to get a better baseline for what kind of player he is. So last year, I think was interesting for him because he moved into the starting lineup, right? So two seasons ago with Charlotte, he came off the bench and was that scorer and got to play a little bit more of his game, you know, which is self-creation. And he shot better, almost a career best that year, 45.7% from the field. His best year was the year right before that. He shot his best from three that season. Again, this is two seasons ago. He just was a really good player that year, efficiency-wise. Now, obviously, there's more to the game than that, but that was the year I think it clicked for him on offense, and some of that was that defense. I read, you know, I was reading about that question I asked him about working with Steven Silas, the old Hornets defensive coach. You know, that the Hornets coaches were like, okay, finally, like, this is not just a score. I can actually put this guy on the floor. James Borrego said, knowing his defensive assignments, you know, made the rotation more comfortable and could play with more guys. So it clearly helped him on D, of course. But, you know, now with that, he can play more and he can get more in a rhythm on offense. I think guys who play his style are kind of those rhythm players who need to get more shots up to get a higher percentage. So that year, 2 years ago, when he finally was getting heavier minutes, you know, for reference, that was his first ever season over 20 minutes per game. He was all the way up to 25. He shot a lot better. And then last year, he played with the starters. So, you know, more with Kemba and Nick Batum and Cody Zeller and Charlotte. And he shot a little worse from the field, 44%, 35% from three. Those are, you know, neither of those are bad. Like that shooting percentage isn't great. That 3-point percentage is slightly below average, but they're fine given that he, you know, creates for himself a fair amount. But he also scored more. You know, he shot more from the field. Ended up over 15 points per game. He took 12 shots. So he has shown consistent improvement as a, you know, as a scorer. And I think that my takeaway from watching him and from seeing those stats is like, playing with the starters didn't super help his efficiency because he's not really a guy who is super awesome off the ball playing off of other people. You know, he's not a fantastic spot up guy or anything like that, but he is good at getting his own shot. So if he is given the chance to create, he can do it, but they often counted on Kemba for that. So it's not that he didn't fit in that group. It's just that his role isn't super suited for that. That's why I think this year with the Pacers will be interesting, because I think he might actually be better suited for that bench role because of TJ Warren's duplicative sort of self-creation sort of stuff. But if Warren can hit the three, I think they can call on Lamb to be the self-creator, no problem. And the defense that Lamb showed will help with the Pacers. But scoring was his thing. Defense was, you know, the subplot that allowed him to play more. But other stuff that sticks out to me from Lamb's stat line last season, 6.8% turnover rate last year. That's so good. That's super good. He never turns over the ball. And he doesn't pass a ton. 3.7 assists per 100 possession last year per game, just 2.2. So not a ton, not a super high passing guy. He's more of a play finisher. But the fact that he puts the ball on the floor as much as he does while he's self-creating and he's still able to not turn it over at all, very impressive from Lamb to me. And that's the main one, I guess. Nothing else is really like super standout-ish. His defensive box plus minus has jumped up since his younger years, but you know, we've seen him work on that. He hit a ton of corner threes, 54% last year. That's another one that stands out to me. If he's reduced to that role, I think he can be good. I don't think that will happen very often, but again, given that Brogdon can create a little bit and we know Warren can create, sticking him in the corner doesn't really hurt the team. So I keep drifting away from reflecting on his last year and talking about his next year. So let's do that. Let's take a small break here and let's talk about what I can see his role being this year and how he'll do in that. So picking Lamb's role when he'll be coming off the bench, I think is pretty easy. I think Holiday will be kind of the main creator, Aaron Holiday, that is. But when he goes to the bench, you know, one of Edmund Sumner or McDermott will get kicked from the rotation. Either way, neither of those guys are really self-creators, so I think he'll be probably the go-to late shot clock scorer with the second unit. Occasionally asked to you know, run the set when Holiday doesn't and have Holiday kind of spot up. I think that is a pretty good fit for him with that unit. You know, he can play off of Goga screening, or if Leaf becomes a screener, Leaf screening, and McDermott spotting up will certainly help him. You know, the Hornets didn't have a single, like Marvin Williams should be, but he wasn't. The Hornets didn't really have a single player with McDermott's level of gravity and shooting. I know, whatever, if McDermott's out for Sumner, that's different, but I'm going to assume McDermott wins that spot, and I think that is a pretty good fit for Lamb with that second unit, and you know, he'll be here for 3 years. I think that makes a lot of sense. He'll fit well with Holiday just because he's 6'5 and is a little bit better on D, and Holiday's tinier. You know, he can pick up the bigger guard if need be. With the starters though, which is where, you know, where Lamb's gonna start the year, like he said, is where Lamb's role gets a little more dicey. Now, I liked in his answer that he explained, and you know, I think we all kind of assumed this, but he said it himself, like, when he's with the starters, his role's a little different. He's not the scorer guy. He has to make plays that are hustle plays and rebound and, you know, play defensive called upon. Like, things that aren't the usual, this is what Jeremy Lamb is good at kind of plays. And I think that's pretty good that he's got that in his head. I am curious to see how that's going to work. You know, that group of five isn't the best passing five. Now, not that Lamb is, you know, a spot-up guy, like I said earlier, but just how often he'll get his touches in favorable situations, or if he'll just be, you know, here's the ball, go get a shot. You know, that's all he'll have to do. And he won't get very many chances because Warren can do it. They'll have Brogdon do it some. So Bonus will be asked to create some too. Like, he'll just have a different fit. So I think the key stat that I mentioned last time there for this is the corner threes that he hit 54% last year. Only 15% of his threes were corner threes, but he nailed them. And if he can do that again, that'd be huge, because I think then you can not be confident, but you can be a little more confident having him be your spot-up guy and having Warren be the self-creator and Brogdon be the secondary creator if you have to assign roles in such rigid ways like that. No, and I think, you know, he's 6'5 with some length, and he's a little thin, but like he can guard enough that, you know, if Brogdon has to change positions, you know, because Brogdon's the best defender between Warren, Lamb, and himself. So I think Brogdon can guard the best 1-3 player on the other team if the Pacers need him to, and they can be confident moving Lamb onto a point guard or whoever, depending on what the situation calls for. So I think on that end of the floor, he fits pretty well. I think he'll guard the second best of the three 1-3 guys, and they'll put Warren on the last one, though I don't know that they'll ever put TJ Warren on a point guard. But just musing out loud of what could happen for Lamb here. It's not like he's a bad fit, you know. It's just kind of different. They kind of traded out defense for offense, and they're kind of hoping that, you know, him being a guy who can self-create and has some IQ as a guy who can beat a defender by himself will help him fit in and give the team a scoring punch that they hadn't particularly had last year. You know, they relied on Vic a lot for that when Vic went out. Bojan's not really a self-creator. They asked him to be that, and he wasn't it, and they just didn't have it. Now they have two guys who can do it. And I think that's a good thing. You know, it's not like Warren's going to do it every time. So, of course, having Lane will be helpful for that. But just going to be interesting to see, you know, how end of shot clock situations work with him in the starting five. Because I don't think teams will be so eager to rush out and guard Lamb on the three-point line, kind of like that last year. Not that it will muck up spacing necessarily, because he can punish you if you're closing out slow and things like that in ways that Thad couldn't. But it still will kind of gimmick up spacing if he's not able to be the spot up threat. But, nothing about his fit anywhere is bad. And I think that is a key component to him starting. And him knowing his role so well, I think, is very important, just because it could change. It could be very fluid. You know, Brogdon frequently is injured, or has been, at least in his career. Same with Warren. So he could be playing with other guys where he is called upon. He's been a bit healthier. You know, 79 and 80 games his last two seasons suggests that for Lamb. And I think another thing is he'll probably be the first pulled between Brogdon and Warren. I think he'll be the first guy to come out. And I think they'll probably put in Holiday for him and then have Holiday, Brogdon, Warren. That's just a guess, but I'm just going to assume that for the time being, because, you know, I don't know that making any other sub first makes a ton of sense. They'd just be sacrificing even more offensive creation. So I think then he'll be the first guy to come in with the bench where he can fit a little bit better. So even with Vic out, it's not like he's going to be completely removed from playing with the second unit. So he'll find a ways to be good. He always has in his career. Pritchard said in the introductory press conference for Warren and Lamb that he likes that these two guys have both, you know, improved every year of their career. You can tell that they love the game because of that. And I agree that he has improved every year, both in the stat sheet and, you know, mentally as a vet. He acknowledged he's a vet at Media Day and as a player just overall. And that will, you know, help the team both in the locker room and on the court. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play just because he's kind of got a throwback game. You know, he said in college when he was at UConn, by the way, he was on that UConn team that beat Butler in the worst basketball game of all time. So someone will have to ask him about that eventually. But, yeah, back in his college days, he would work on his mid-range shot more than any other, or as much as any other shot at least. And, you know, now he's got that shot. He can get it off and make it at a good enough rate to be efficient. You know, he hit like 50% of his shots from 10 to 20 feet. I want to make sure I have that right. I wrote about him, and I don't have the stat directly in front of me, which is kind of embarrassing. Yes, 95 of his 188 attempts from 10 to 20 feet, that's over 50%. So that's over a point per shot, which is a fine trip down the floor if you have to rely on that. So I think his throwback mid-range game is good, and his three, you know, is just close enough to league average that it's not going to kill you if you have to have him shoot it, and his defense is the same as his three, where it's just slightly below league average. He's a little thin, but it makes do with long wingspan and usually guarding perimeter players. So, yeah, I think he's a fine role-playing scorer, and he won't have a Tyreek-like year where he just craters his efficiency. You know, just the way he plays kind of aligns with Nate McMillan's, you know, you free reign to shoot the mid-ranger if it's a very open shot. I think that marriage will help him. So, yeah, I think his role's fine. But I think he'll be better with the bench by a fair amount than with the starters. We'll have to see. It could be a tale of two seasons for him. So let's do the fun thing, the stupid thing that I don't know why we keep doing, because we always look dumb, where we predict stats. So stick around after this break. We're going to talk Jeremy Lamb's stats. Don't forget to check out Manscaped. You go to manscaped.com. Use the code LOCKEDON at checkout for a nice discount. And you can let them know that you came from us, which is always great. So go check out Manscaped for the best men's hair grooming products. And now we'll take a break and talk about Jeremy Lamb's stats. So Lamb took 12 shots last year in Charlotte, and he was a starter for most of the year. He started 55 games. I guess he could get 12 shots off the. I think off the bench, he'll actually see his minutes decrease when Vic comes back, right? But I think he actually might get the same amount of shots just because his role will allow him to shoot more. So last year, he took the second most shots on Charlotte at 12. Kemba took the most. He was the second most. Nobody else was above 10. Right, so they allowed him to not green light might be, not be the right word, but he had a bright yellowish green light to shoot the ball. So last year, for example, on the Pacers. Oh, excuse me. I'm on this year's Pacers team stats. That is unhelpful. Last year on the Pacers, guys who took over 10 shots a game. Vic, 16. Bojan, 13. Thad, just over 10, and Miles, over 10. Right, so the Pacers have a little more balanced of an offense than Charlotte does. But I think that that's going to continue. And if he is the fourth option, a la Thad last year, then maybe he ends up around that 10 shots a game mark. But if he's more the fifth option, like Collison, maybe he ends up around 9 shots per game. And that's neither of those are improbable to me. You know, I think clearly with the first unit, the most shots will go to, I think the three most shots, wow, it's actually pretty hard. Between Turner and Sabonis, I can't decide what's going to happen. I think Warren and Brogdon will be in the top three and one of the big men. And then you have to decide, you know, between Turner and Sabonis and Lamb, who gets the least shots. Lamb might actually get the least of that. So somewhere between 9 and 10 shots. So it's not like such a drastic difference that it's worth beating myself up over right now. But that's three less shots than he took last year. So even maintaining the same percentages, you know, makes less than half of his shots. Taking three less shots, he's going to make 1.5-ish less, and one of those might be a three. So he's not going to score 15 a game this year. He's probably going to be closer to an 11 or 12 points per game score, I think. But his percentages could go up a little bit. Like I said, I think this system might cater a little bit more to the way he likes to score. So maybe you'll see him hover around that 12 points per game mark. I think that'd be a healthy mark for him and the team. And I think that's kind of reflective of the level of option that I just described. You know, Thad was a 12 points per game scorer last year. DC was 11. So if he's the fourth or fifth option on a team that shares the wealth a bit more than his team did last year, I think that's right in line there. His assists last year were at 2.2. No reason I think that goes up. He's not going to be asked to create very much for others, especially if he, like I just said, is farther down the pecking order of options. To start the season, rebounds 5.5 per game. He's actually a solid rebounder for a guard at his size. That was at 28.5 minutes per game. I think he ends up the season probably about 26, so probably 5 rebounds will be my official guess there. 1 steal because he's got length and is a little gambly. So I think that's all fair assessments. You know, I think minutes is probably the hardest thing to predict for him because, you know, how much does it get inflated early in the year, right? Like we just saw in practice, and me and Adam talked about this and how exciting might be the wrong word. How nice it is, but Edmund Sumner was the backup too in practices, right? And he's kind of unproven, not really. He had some flashes last year that make it, you know, fine that he's going to play backup two to start the year. They also have Justin Holiday there, but, like, those two guys could both struggle. And then do you play more Lamb? You know, what is the protocol there? Do you put Brogdon more at the two? Who really knows what the team is gonna go for in that situation? But, I don't know how he gets more than 28.5 minutes per game than he got last year. And I think if he definitely is going to be with the second unit, it'll be less. And if, you know, Ed and McDermott both play well or fit well, you know, maybe he even gets fewer minutes with the second unit than we're thinking in lieu of those guys. So I'll have to see how that goes. It's going to be very interesting to see how much he plays and what kind of stat line he puts up. But that's my official prediction. I say 12, 5, and 2, which is a fine role player, fine fifth option. And that's a guy you pay, you know, $10 million to have. So, that's the Jeremy Lamb show. I hope you learned something about him and enjoy the media day stuff. I think I'd be able to throw some of these in. I forget what players I have and who Adam has. You know, I know I talked to TJ Leaf, but that is Adam's player come Thursday, and I don't think I'm going to send him any audio. That's a lot of editing for me for Adam's conversation, but I'm trying to pull up our schedule so I can tell you what guys will see. I hope you enjoyed that part, though. Let me know if you did on Twitter. I'm at TEastNBA, and the show is at Locked On Pacers. Either of those is a great way to let me see it. I have Sabonis next week. I did do a little bit of talking to Sabonis. And I have McConnell the week after, and the two-way guys. I might have some of the two-way guys, but I do not have McConnell. Unfortunately, I was not able to speak with him. So yeah, you'll hear from Sabonis next week. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Adam should be, I think he's going to post tomorrow. So it's up the day before the game to preview the action against the Kings in India. By the way, stick around on my Twitter. I'm going to tweet out this article. I've got some fun stuff coming up on the India trip, the team's reaction to it and how they're feeling about it. And of course, how it's good for the league, all that stuff. So stick around for that. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you very soon.